Okay, we have, here is the situation then. Difficult circumstance, seemingly unjust. Why, when, where, and what? Why is it happening? When will it be resolved? What do I have to do? How do I do this? The bottom line is very simple. You don't know that He loves you. You intellectually understand that God loves you. So you've gone into the perception area, but it hasn't yet become your frame of reference. That's the issue right there. It's not something you do. It's something God does. Okay? You're not going to fix this. God will fix this. God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So that's what you do. What do you do in the meantime? You grab a hold of God's promises and you believe them. Okay? In other words, you don't intellectually acknowledge them as truth. You're going to believe something. At one point, perhaps, you may believe, well, the justice system may do this or it may do them, but it's really up to the justice system. And this is what you have, perhaps, believed. I don't know. But in a circumstance like this, you may say to yourself, the justice system decides. And there is your belief. But that's not what God says. God says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. So no matter what systems or people may be involved, they're not the decision makers, although they think they may be. And I think they may be, perhaps, but they're not. God is the decision maker. And why? Because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. So no matter what it appears to be, all things, in fact, are from God. Okay, and that all in the Greek, it's my favorite word, means all. Okay, it is all from God. Okay, so God has ordained this. Before the world began, He has ordained this. Okay, why has He ordained this? For your sake, to be conformed to His image. Okay, now, right now, it doesn't feel like it. Don't worry about what it feels like. How does God deal with us? He deals with us according to the finished work, we know that, but He also deals with us according to mercy. He deals with us as His adopted, as the apple of His eye. Okay, He never deals with us according to our weaknesses or failures, mistakes, lack, whatever. God never deals with us according to those things. Why? Because we are His. We think of in those terms. We want to deal with other people in those terms. You are like this, therefore this is how I will treat you, or this is what will happen because you are like this. That did happen with God. Christ went to the cross because I am the way that I am. But that was the only thing that needed to happen because that was the only thing that could satisfy. Okay? So that's no longer how God deals with it. Like sometimes we say to Him, did I do something wrong? Is it happening because I'm doing something wrong? No, it's not. It's happening because God has a perfect plan and a perfect will. And in the end, He is glorified both in me and through me to the rest of the world. That's why. Now, let's say that something worse happened. Let's say that there's a woman, a mother in the city, and her son is killed in a drug shootout. He has nothing to do with it. He's just in the wrong place at the wrong time and he is killed. Happens. Right? You hear about it occasionally on the news. It happens. What is that mother to say? Why? Why, God? You see, one of the things that I don't know is all things. But God does know all things, and He knows the end from the beginning. So at the beginning, God knew the end. Why? Because He had ordained the end. He had put it in place. It is already in place. And now I'm walking in a finished work, getting to the end that started at the beginning. Okay, it has been a designed path. It's a pre-planned, designed path. So what God does is He puts us in these circumstances. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're doing. And God says, okay, now will you trust me? And this is what God asked Job, right? Will you trust me? And Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. God didn't slay Job. It only felt that way. And maybe it does. But that is part of the plan of God. They that suffer with Christ train with Him. A part of why you are being trained to reign. God has an eternal plan that this little drop in the bucket is going to result in an eternal reward. The ones who are closest to God are those who reign. So what you have here is a difficult, yes, opportunity. And the question is, okay, how will you take this opportunity? But this is the question God poses. You say why, and God says, will you trust me? The other day on Grace Hour, there was a message on there from Richard Wurmbrand. For those of you who aren't acquainted with him, he was a Lutheran pastor in the dark days of communism in Romania. And he spent 14 years being tortured because he was a Christian. And the torture was brutal. I mean, this was the most vile, heinous, brutal, humiliating, physically just destructive torture you could imagine. And he was talking to God, and he asked God for help, to just say something to him. And God did. And God spoke to him. And Wurmbrand said that he expected God to give him words of comfort or words of encouragement. But instead, God asked him a question. He said, what is your name? And he said, you know my name. You're God. You know my name. What do you mean, what is your name? And then he was going to answer, and he realized he could not answer. Because his name was Richard. But as he thought, my name is Richard, he remembered that in English history, there was a saint named Richard, a martyr, a believer who suffered deeply and profoundly for his faith, named Richard. And he could not compare himself to that Richard because of the magnitude of the suffering that that man had endured. And he would not deny the Savior. And so as he was thinking about this man's life and the profound torture and ultimate martyrdom that Richard underwent for the faith, he no longer could say to God, my name is Richard. And so he did not know his name. Why? Because he couldn't compare himself to that. He couldn't say, my name is Richard, because God, he was afraid God would say to him, if you are Richard, this was Richard. See, so why? I mean, can I compare? I mean, we don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves, but like, can I say that my trial is a Wurmbrand trial? I cannot. Now, here's the thing about suffering. Suffering is about capacity. It's not relative. Okay, in other words, in my capacity, I may be suffering to the maximum. But I cannot compare how I suffer to the way that another person suffers. Because another person has a different capacity. And God does not ask me to suffer in such a way. okay, or to compare myself to them. Now, Wormbrand did that because I guess maybe God, you know, wanted to change his focus or something. I don't know. But in our own lives, we don't do that. We don't say, I suffer or I don't suffer because look at this other person. Suffering is not relative. Suffering is only relative to my own capacity. Okay? That's something that people have to understand, or they're going to be condemned in their own suffering. Okay, so suffering is according to my capacity. Why do I suffer? Many reasons. Some of them are for like correction or chastise, or I bring on myself because I rebelled against God. Okay, and those are one form. Well, there are other forms. There are forms that God brings. For example, the blind man. Who was it Jesus that sinned? He or his parents? And Jesus said neither. It was for the glory of God. So suffering can come for the glory of God. Or suffering can come to work something into my own heart. Or suffering can come as a training process. Or suffering can come as a promotion so that I could become one of the Morning Star believers. The Morning Star is a unique order of believer. Not every believer is a Morning Star believer. Only the overcoming believer. So suffering comes so that I would have to overcome. Suffering of that sort is actually a difficult opportunity. Okay, why? So that I can reign. My Savior suffered. Okay, my Savior suffered. One, he suffered just by becoming a man. Like, can you imagine what it would have been like being God to step down to be a man? Being the creator of angels and the king to step down to being lower than angels. From being sinless perfection to on the cross becoming pure imperfection, pure sin. That must have been like unimaginable suffering. And then you consider the other elements of the Savior's suffering. The creation mocks and spits on him. And they beat him and slap him in the face. Right, they whip him and tear his garments and the thorns and the cross and the nails and the mocking, constantly mocking all through the events. What was his sin? He healed. He proclaimed hope. He healed. He raised the dead. And for this, he was tormented. Okay, now, my Bible says that I'm here to be conformed to His image. Okay, why? Put it all together and you have to ask this question, will you trust? And you say, what choice do I have? Okay, then trust. You see, there is a point of intellectually saying, I will trust, but not actually trusting. How do I get to the point of actually trusting? Well, it starts when I grab a hold of His promises and I believe Him. Okay, one of the things in order to do that, one of the things I have to realize is that God is not a theological God. God is a person. And this person said to me, I promise you these things. And this person said to me, I love you with an everlasting love. And this person said to me, I will be faithful and not one of the promises that I give you can fall to the ground. And so I grab a hold of what that person said to me. Now, if I don't fully know that person, although I may be well acquainted with him, but I don't really know that person's heart, I will have some trepidation in my own heart. But that's where experience brings hope. Okay? It starts with a step of faith, but then the step of faith is not something solid in me until experience has worked it in. Okay? So, experience. Like, you go through this now, what would happen if you went through this again in 5 or 10 years? Well, you will have seen God be faithful to you. You would have seen God come through for you in impossible circumstances. And that's exactly what He's going to do. And though I do not know the end yet, the day will come when I know the end. Now, there's an interesting passage that Jesus said, if I have faith like a mustard seed. And we tend to think of it as just a teeny bit of faith, but you know that's not what it's saying. It's not about the magnitude of faith. It's about the fact that it's a living faith. If your faith is alive like a mustard seed, where you do not see the tree, but you only see the seed, but it is alive, then nothing is impossible. So we have the faith of a mustard seed. How do I know this? Because Jesus also said in Matthew 7 that if I ask, I will receive. Everyone who asks receives. And then He also said you have not because you ask not. So that tells me something. The faith of a mustard seed is the faith to ask. And all I actually need to do to receive is ask. And if I have enough faith to ask, then I have enough faith for Him to answer. And I can move mountains. Now, in the moving of the mountain, He never said you're going to feel good about it. He never said there will be no trepidation in it. He never said there will be no worry or fear in it. He did say you'll move a mountain. So, I think to myself in terms of my emotions, well, this is scaring me, this is upsetting me, this is frustrating me, this is hurting me, and so on. And God says, trust me. But that emotional part, that peace that passes understanding, that can come quickly, but usually comes only with experience. When I really grab a hold of the fact that God is true, and that He in fact will do what He said He will do. Why does God allow this? Because it is in fact not the people who did it. It is not the system that's doing it. It is God who is allowing it. Why does God allow it? He could just snap His fingers, all done. Speak the word, create the universe. Why not speak the word now, God? Because that would be of no benefit. The process is sometimes more valuable than the outcome. Because it's in the process that I am built. If all I desire is an outcome, it's like building a quick sword, right? It's like making a quick sword. If you make it too quick, the sword is weak. But if you take just the right amount of heat for just the right amount of time, the sword becomes very strong. It becomes both pliable, like malleable, like flexible, and strong. And so God applies just the right amount of heat for just the right amount of time. And when it is done, it is done. Now, when will that be? Well, I can't answer the question to your specifics, when will that be, but I can tell you this, in Habakkuk 2:3, it is for an appointed time. So the time of the resolution, the time of the solution, has been appointed already. Now, though that time is some distance off, we don't know how far, but it's not immediate. It will come. And when it comes, it will not be in any way partial. It will be complete. And it will not be in any way drawn out when the answer finally is in the process of arriving. It will arrive quickly and in fullness. In other words, when it's done, it will be done. That time has been appointed. We just don't know what the time is, but God does. In Isaiah 42:5, He says, I'll take you by the hand and I'll keep you. So in that process, until that time, God takes me by the hand and He keeps me. So what do? I draw near to Him, and He draws near to me. The best thing I can do when I face a challenge is get built up. The best thing I can do is get near around the body of Christ. That's the best thing I can do. Why? Because I need life. Right? If life is being drained, I need a source of life. If virtue is going out of me, then I need a source of virtue. So I need life. And I need rest. And so I rest in the body of Christ, and I rest in the promises of God. Okay, how is God going to do it? He's going to do it in such a way that it operates on many levels simultaneously. And you won't immediately see all of the levels, but as the process continues, you'll start to see various levels on which God is operating in the process. God has this amazing characteristic. When He does something, it's never on one level. It's on more levels than I can actually comprehend. God deals in all things simultaneously. That's part of the beauty of the plan. Like I was thinking today, what will be the result? I don't know, but I'll tell you something. There's going to be a result. I think it's going to be amazing. I know a woman, I don't know if you know this story or not, but I know a woman who had taught at a school for the blind. And there was a boy there who was an orphan. He was 12 years old. And she taught him, and this was like it's not like teaching in a public school. It's really like working often in a boarding home, and you're almost a foster parent to these kids. And she did actually become this boy's foster mother. She couldn't afford to adopt him. She wasn't making near enough money to be able to do that. But she did take him in for a number of years as a foster mother. Now, he was 12 years old, blind, very hard of hearing, and some cognitive issues. Nobody wants a kid like that. Right? And so it was a very difficult boy to adopt. And she had prayed, God, take care of this child, protect him, don't let any evil come to this child. And she loved him like his mom. And when he was 15 years old, there was a person who wanted to adopt this boy. And this was an upstanding person in the community. Wealthy, had all the money necessary to provide all the things this child needed, and then some. And so she was very excited. Finally, this child was going to get a home. 2 weeks prior to the adoption, the kid contracts a serious illness and dies. And she was so bitter and so angry with God. And she said, God, why and how could you? I asked you to take care. How could you do this to him? Finally, after all these years of suffering, and now now he's gone. Why couldn't you let something good happen to this kid? And then 2 months later, she reads in the newspaper that the guy who was going to adopt him was arrested for child molestation. He was a notorious homosexual pedophile. Nobody knew that at the time. And she read the article, and she's stunned by it, and God spoke to her. And she says, see, I took care of him. This is how God operates. That boy was a believer. He went to heaven. This is how God operates. God would not let that child be harmed, even though she could not understand what God was doing. It's like that with us. God will let no evil and no weapon prosper. But frequently I cannot understand what God is doing in the process. The beauty of it is that frequently I will get hindsight. But in the end, I will know. And ultimately, even if I never know on earth, in the end, I will know. So how will God do it? God will do it in such a way that He is glorified, you are edified, and that all things, in fact, do work together for your benefit. So when that happens, like, it's okay to ask the questions, but never turn from God in the process. Instead, draw near to Him in the process. If I abide under the shadow of His wings, then I have to draw pretty near. Because I have to be under that wing. So I draw near. I draw near the body. I draw near to church. I draw near to the Word. I make sure every day to get built up more than normal because I'm facing a harder circumstance than normal. And God draws near to me. And when I am hurt, I go to Him with it. Or if I'm afraid, I tell Him, God, I am afraid. To never be afraid to tell God your weaknesses. He knows them anyway. So if I'm afraid, I say, God, I'm afraid. And God answers. Or if I feel lonely, I say, God, I am lonely. And He answers. Or angry. God, I am so angry. And God answers. He knows what I am like anyway. But what He wants me to do is, with my weakness intact, He wants me to draw near to Him. And then He takes care of my problems. This one thing is true. When you stand still, you see the salvation of God. What did God say to Joshua? The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. It feels like it, but that's where a person has to get objective and draw near to the promises. God said. This is how you respond to your emotions. God said. And He can't lie.